JJ. Talking locks and chokes, rolling up that strong bouquet. Blazing trails both on the mats and trails of trippy haze. Mike's big naturals ain't the only legends of the days. We're just the modern sages, insights like we're mages. Gripping GIs and wisdom while we're flipping through life's pages.
What the fuck was that, Michael?
I mean, was this not just fantastic? I mean, you've Danny Mouse, the Tank Flat, and whatever AI system he used to thing. But welcome to DJ and BJJ. I'm Irish Mike. My co-host,
Ken.
Who have we with us today, Ken?
We've got senior member of the Matt House community, Adam Squishy Brown. For those of you that want to get to know Adam a little bit better, you might want to listen to episode 15 where we had him on and he talked about his life and times. How you going, Adam?
I don't know if I like the term senior. I feel like there was different connotations to that word then.
Well, you are the most senior person here in Belt and Age.
So I mean, so sad. It happened so quickly.
I'll just give it one. We're actually recording in Matt House, if you're wondering what the echo is. My fantastic idea. So
8 p.m. in the afternoon, because obviously if it was in the morning, I'd have to be working. So
yeah.
Just put that caveat in.
Same.
So we're here. There's a class going on in the background. Fantastic.
That was a great song, though. Makes it sound like there's a very hazy smoke in that house, though, all the time.
I don't think you'd get away with that.
Yeah. I
wouldn't be the one to test that rule anyway.
Matt House after dark.
I mean, I feel kind of fucking dodgy coming in when I'm half hungover. Like.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, well, this morning, much better, to be honest.
Isn't that every day for you these days?
Oh, man, I swear to God, I had some amount of drink last night. I think I was still pissed when I woke up this morning. Like.
Jesus. So I wouldn't come.
Fun employment going well for you then, mate.
It's like, yeah, I'll stick to my morals and I'll quit the job. It was like 7 weeks later, as they're doing SpongeBob SquarePants. And I'm just fucking there drinking myself into oblivion, like on a Wednesday.
Training jiu-jitsu in the morning and lunchtime and then Cans all afternoon. It's good life if you can get it, mate.
Good life if you can get it.
Yeah, not when you're fucking spending the fucking money that I'm spending fucking currently. But anyway.
So doing all of that, plus the peptides?
Yeah, peptides, man. Yeah, first one yesterday. Yeah, it came.
Got a pep in your step?
BPC 157. Andrew Huberman and fucking Joe Rogan. What?
Injecting.
For the listeners, Squish just did a syringe motion with his hands.
Where's that, right in the bum?
No, you do it in your belly fat.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on this, mate? Because
as a man slowly going into the darkness in that age, it's definitely something I've thought about, but I don't know. I'm looking at like TRT over... Yeah, but straight steroids.
Yeah, but
to the
do you know, like everyone that says they're on TRT is just blasting a steroid dose. Like it's so hilarious. Like when you hear all these gym lads saying, "I'm on TRT," it's like, "Have you been to a doctor?" I do my own bloods and I buy it off a guy that makes it in his own house in the clean room, which is like what I did for years.
Oh, no. Well, that's the thing. I've actually booked in and I'm going to see a doctor to discuss it all. Like to talk it.
Doctor.
It's a real doctor.
Hi, everybody.
To be fair, saying that, me and my missus were looking at the website and she was like, okay, right, because she didn't like the idea of me doing it. And she goes, why are all of the doctors in this so jacked? And I was like, it doesn't matter.
Healthy lifestyle.
They're just
isn't
healthy.
It?
You don't want to buy your juice off a skinny doctor, do you?
No, I'm not getting juice.
No, of course not. Course you're not.
Yeah, but sure, everybody, like, fucking the whole world's on steroids.
Do you know anything about peptides?
No.
Because the thing
I don't know anything about peptides.
Yeah, Mike doesn't know anything about peptides, and the thing that cracks me up is, like, it says for research purposes only when you get the vial. Do you remember, like, back in the early 2000s, there was that plant fertilizer that everyone was taking as, like, taking it as if it was speed.
Oh,
we started early.
Why wasn't I made aware of this?
We're 3 minutes in. And that was like sold as like a research purpose plant fertilizer. And I just feel like...
Was that sold in head shops? Because like head shops had everything that you weren't
supposed to consume. Sold in head shops. You could buy it online via post. Yeah. And like, it was like really cheap. And it just turned people into absolute deviants. Like,
I suppose ketamine's horse tranquilizer. People love that at the weekend.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just find it funny, like, especially, Mike, you're the perfect example of this, and sorry, I'm going to shit on you a little bit here, but you're doing the 1% of work, like, you know, finding those little adjustments that would, like, maybe help you eke out the top end of performance, like things like taking peptides research chemicals, whatever, things you're not really fully sure of, sticking them into
you. Do you want to know how I got the doors?
You're not doing the 99% of the work. We've already talked in this brief 4 minutes of podcast. We've already talked about you staying up all night on the piss, waking up half cut. We've already gone into depth on your diet that consists of meat and Skittles.
Like, no, to be fair, what I had yesterday was chicken curry. I eat chicken curry fucking probably most days, or else, well, some form of chicken if it's not spuds or steak. Like, I probably have very high protein intake. And but how I got the dose for the BPC-157 was I messaged my mate on Instagram and asked him how much do you use. So didn't even follow.
Athlete guy, was it?
Oh no, if you see this guy, like, he's fucking
scientific.
He doesn't listen.
How much are you taking? So I wrote down his dose and added on 10% just to be sure.
No, because it comes with the exact amount in the bottle, and then you have to take out your antibacterial water, or bacterial water, whatever it's called, and you mix that in. It's the same thing with growth hormone when you do that. Like, it's the same kind of process.
Jesus. I think that's the other thing. Like, just the idea of pinning myself at home, that's not for me, mate.
I want a doctor to tell me how to do everything.
If it's done with an insulin needle, it's a piece of piss. Like, but when you start using the blues, like the blue top needles, they hurt. Like if, just say I was to go back on juice now, like, and I was to pin my I always do my quads. I never do my bum. Like, loads of people do their bums, but, or their shoulders. Pause. I always do my fucking quad. But like, you, when you haven't done it in a long time and you stick that pin in your quad, like, it's sore the next day. Like, I remember, like, when I was a white belt here, I was fucking said, right, I'm going to go back on the juice. I'm fucking going to kill everybody. Do you know what I mean? And put the weight back on. And I had pinned, and we were here on a Saturday, and James Cartwright, we were doing back stuff. Dom had us, like, taking back, so James took my back. And, like, at the time, like, I probably would have been able to handle James Cartwright, whereas I can't really fucking, he's met my match now, like, but he just put his hook across my leg, and I went, and I just fell to the side, and I'd say he was like, what the fuck is wrong with this? But then he just choked the shit out of me. Like, I had nothing to offer him because I was in so much pain, and I couldn't say, oh no, my leg is sore because I was jabbing steroids. Like, you know what I mean?
But you would now.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck now. Yeah, you just, like, everyone knows me now, so I don't care.
Yeah, you
know,
you were still trying to put on a facade back then.
I have no facade. I've steroids at home, and I have all the needles. I just haven't started yet.
Oh, awesome. Very excited to see. Do you reckon it'll fix your knee?
I think the BP-157 might, because I spoke with Connor and a doctor gave him tablets.
Sorry, this just loops back into what I was saying. It's like doing no physical therapy whatsoever, but just hoping that your magic beans are going to solve your knee.
I've got faith.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I do too, like. I mean, I lifted wrong on steroids for fucking years. Like, I'll show you me doing fucking, like, the dog having a shit deadlifts, like, and I'm pulling fucking 250, like, and I never hurt my back.
How's your back been in recent years?
Oh, I think jiu-jitsu fucked it.
Jiu-jitsu fucked it, yeah.
Yeah, but sure, I never had pain. Like, I only had pain this last year, like.
You
sure,
do understand that you can damage things in the past and the symptoms present later in life.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, being bow and arrowed, yeah, to the point that you can't look right or left immediately for fucking 2 weeks. Like, that's fucking worse than fucking hurting your back on a deadlift, like.
So,
do you know what I mean? I was able to deadlift every week consistently for years, like.
I feel like this is something we should have gone through with you earlier in your, like, what are you, 3-4 years into jiu-jitsu now?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay. You know they stop pulling the submission when you tap, right? You didn't have to not be able to look.
I'm not going to name any names, but we share someone in common that just loves to throw on a submission.
Yeah, tap quick with that sneaky bastard.
Oh, I want to know those now.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you remember someone was injured one time?
Oh, right.
There's a common.
I love you, really. He said to me, Michael, you're always putting me down there on Sunday when we're at the camp. And I was like, I fucking don't mean to, mate. I'm just having a laugh.
Has he not hung around with us much?
Like, yeah, that's how it literally, like, I'm just really sorry. Like, it made me feel really bad. Like, sorry talking over you.
So you're back training, you're back on the juice, back training, or peptides for now.
Getting
your magic beans. You're going to grow a beanstalk.
Hey, do you know what the funny thing is, yeah? If this fucking cures me in a week, you'll be like, yeah, I'll fucking try that shit.
Get me on those peptides, boy. Get me some of them blueies.
But yeah, sure. I had an MRI yesterday as well. So
did you?
Specifically for my back. So we're going to find out.
For your back? What about your knee?
No, because it wasn't on the fucking thing. I tried to blag it.
The peptides are going to fix the knee, so he doesn't need to worry about
no,
that.
No, but I went to they wouldn't do anything for my knee when I asked them for
that they just said, oh, it's only a sprain, blah, blah, blah. But Ryan, that does the judo black belt, the trends here, he said they'd done the same thing to him, said it was him. And I'm starting to get pain on the other side of my knee now. And he said his MCL was fucked and he was out for like months.
Did he do his ACL?
The one he had surgery on was his
ACL. It was a full reconstruction. Yeah, they did a hamstring one.
Because they told him like it was only a sprain or something as well.
You need to push when you go to the doctors. I had to have shoulder surgery once and I went to see a nurse and she was like, can you lift your arm up in the air? And I was like, well, yeah, I can, but it really hurts. And she goes, yeah, but can you do it? And I was like, yeah, but I do all of this stuff, jiu-jitsu, stuff like that. I'm all used to feeling uncomfortable, so I can lift it above my head, but it really, really hurts.
Plus, I'm a man and I will live in the uncomfortableness.
Plus, I'm super masculine at that. And I lifted it above my head and she went, yeah, just a sprain. I needed to have full keyhole surgery on that shoulder.
This was what kind of annoyed me as well, was like, you're going in for an MRI. Like, what is the difference between doing one area and giving you a full MRI? Is it probably fucking 40 minutes, is it?
Full MRI?
What, do your whole body? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know the difference, though?
It's probably like about fucking
probably cost
$1,200.
So,
I'm just saying, like, do you know, like, if, like, I'm fortunate enough, like, I've only ever been in a hospital once, and it was...
When you were born?
Twice. No, but like true sickness. Yeah. And like it was just because I picked up a blood infection. It was actually...
Is that from the needle?
Is that from pinning?
No, it actually technically is, right? Because when I done my first competition, in Grappling Industries, and I came home, my knee was all swollen. And I was like, I don't know how you describe it. So I was just like, look, I have a load of needles there. I'm going to stick the needle in this and suck out whatever the fuck fluid is in there.
Okay. I mean,
and then...
Brilliant plan.
Through doing that, I gave myself a blood infection or else...
Really?
I think so, yeah. Because what happened was I probably let the air in and I'd say...
Just going to stick a syringe in myself and suck up whatever's in.
Yeah, man. I'm a fucking man, mate. If I have to fix something in my body, I'm going to do it, even if I haven't the fucking slightest clue what I'm doing. And it put me in hospital for 2 days.
I think that's a simpleton.
Yeah, I'm a man, mate. Same thing. What's the difference, like? But that
worked out well.
Actually, do you know what? I don't know why everybody complains about hospital food. It's not that bad. And like,
that's because we've seen your normal diet, bruv.
Yeah.
Most people eat delicious and varied diet. You've just said you'll eat chicken curry 7 days a week.
I mean, I don't, but I would. I have when I was on the juice. I used to have chicken and rice with a small bit of curry sauce, give it a flavour. At 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and then I could go home and eat another 2 chicken fillets. Like, I'd eat about fucking 5 or 6 chicken fillets in a day.
Fair enough. You know what I mean? Need that protein.
Get that protein. Build that muscle.
So yeah, Mark's living that life. What have you been up to lately, Squish? You've been doing a few away days, travelling around a bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're back training post-injury and all of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my knee's got a lot better now. I'm still strapping it up. I think today was the first time I've sort of done a roll. That's why I just sort of went with easier people today. No offence if anyone's listening to this, just lower belts. But yeah, first time I didn't have a brace on it. But yeah, I've been all over. I've gone to a couple of places. I went back to my old place. I don't know if you listened to the previous podcast.
It's the one that you...
Broke your arm? Or...
Is that the one that you, Luke, and Zach share in common? The one where Zach got his ACL popped in his first class. Luke was told that the drill was going to be headbutt in the bag. Yeah. And I'm sure you had similar anecdotes.
Yeah.
How was it returning to where it all began?
It was like it hadn't changed at all. Went back there and... walked in, I was told that they do a BJJ class because I don't want to go do the striking anymore. So I went down, it's in a new place, it's in an old slaughterhouse. So they literally had to pull the door open like a episode of Saw. And went in and it was like the exact same place I used to train at, but they'd moved it. It's like loads of crap everywhere. And when I got there, it was a blue belt teaching. And as soon as I walked in, he was like, can you teach, please? Like, you got really uncomfortable.
I could feel that, though, but like the pure audacity to just go, can you teach the class when you're coming to do, like, outside your own gym?
Did you quote him your hourly and be like, yeah, sure, it's £50 an hour?
I didn't.
Did you teach?
Yeah, I helped out.
What a gent. Just coming giving his charity.
The thing was, I went there to go see, I only popped in, I went there to go see my old coach, but he didn't even show up.
Did you let him know you were going?
Yeah, he knew I was coming and everything. He turned up right at the end of the class. It was almost like I did like a little free seminar for like 5 or 6 people.
And you paid?
Huh? I didn't pay anything. Oh, right. But I mean, I didn't get paid, and I sort of went there and. I mean, everyone there was cool. I mean, the guy who normally takes it, the blue belt guy, he was actually at the comp that we've just done.
Did he compete?
Yeah. Who did he go up against? He fought one of our guys. I'm trying to remember. But yeah, he was really nice. I think he trains other places, so he moves around and that. He sort of had at least a semblance of some idea of what he was doing. But
a Ronin.
Yeah, I think, like you say, like, having that bit of coloured fabric round your waist, like, people immediately get like a bit nervous and stuff like that, to be teaching somebody higher.
Didn't you
level.
Have exactly the same experience the week after as well?
Yeah.
You went to another gym.
I went to another gym, yeah, and at that time I said no. So that time when I went there was a couple of guys there training. It's a nice little gym.
That's Wokingham, right?
Yeah, in Wokingham. Yeah. That was,
I don't want to name, normally with me and Mark would shout out the gyms we trained at, but A, because it wasn't us training, and B, because we've kind of used them as the butt of a joke to say, like, oh, they asked us to teach, still asked you to teach.
Oh, well, no, this second one I went to, I'll say they were, because they were lovely. Yeah, that's STMA.
Shaolin Tigers.
Yeah.
They have one here as well, don't they?
Yeah, they've got one.
It's only striking class is the one here.
Oh, is it, yeah?
I'm pretty sure.
No.
Charlie trains there, it's where, does he?
Yeah, they do some grappling. I think they've got a black belt down there.
Oh, do they?
But this other place, this is the same sort of franchise, but it's in Wokingham. He did say the same thing to me when I went there. He was like, would you like to teach? And I said to him, no. I didn't know anybody there. So I was like, no, look, this is your class. I'm here. I've come here. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And he was good as gold. Showed some.
He competed on the weekend as well.
He did, yeah.
I saw him.
He was there, yeah. So
he got gold, I think. I don't know the fella's name. Is it James or something like that?
He's another Irish fella, I don't know. So probably some weird Irish name.
Yeah, James is so weird.
James
and Michael, these strange foreign names.
Yeah,
fucking Sean next.
Yeah, fuck. Don't know any of them. Moving on. you had a good experience there. Good, is it good facility in Unix? That's just up the road, isn't it? Like, for you especially, it's like 2 minutes.
For me, yeah, it's like.
But like for us, it's about 20.
Yeah, 5 minutes away from my house. But it was nice enough. It was they've got like sort of disco lights in there. It's a striking gym as well, so they've got like.
I think I've seen it on Instagram actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
You will have. I follow them because they had a load of sponsored ads going around, so I think they pumped a bit of cash into marketing.
Yeah, no, I had a chat with a guy afterwards. He's put him and his missus are trying to put everything into it to make it as good as it can be. And
so do they run the club? So they own that club though? It's like effectively an affiliate. So fair play. That's a big step, setting up your own spot as a blue belt. Hey.
I mean, they teach the other classes as well, so I don't know what his level is.
And the other
striking wise, yeah,
Muay Thai or whatever, like, yeah.
Yeah, but he's trying to do blue belt stuff, and he was, the guy was lovely. He was even like when he was teaching the class, like he would be in the middle of talking something, and he'd stop, he'd look over at me, and he goes, "I'm really nervous saying this, like in front of you, like he was waiting for me to go
correct,
correct. Yeah, that's right.
Well, like, actually, yeah. No.
Actually, I wouldn't do that.
Just go wrong.
Yeah,
come in and start moving just his hands where they should be.
Just tutting, shaking my head. Like,
really big long size.
No, they were good as gold. It was nice to go and pop in and see some of the other places, and it's good that like there's places in the area that are starting up.
That's what I keep saying as well. It's like when I lived up north, I googled BJJ within the area that I lived, and there was the one gym, that SBG gym. Chris from here, you know Chris, was it Rowlands?
Yeah,
he's moving up there, right? And I said, oh, you're going to train at SPG? And he was like, oh, well, and like, he's like, pretty much listed off the other gyms in the area. Because like where SPG is, it's bang in the middle of Shrewsbury, which is like an old town, kind of like Reading, a pain in the ass one-way system in the middle of town. So like, if you're traveling, if you're not in town already, traveling in to train would be a pain in the ass. But there's like 5 or 6 other gyms in the area now that you could legitimately go and train at. And it's kind of the same as here, right? Like when you first started jiu-jitsu, there was only one dedicated
jiu-jitsu
gym. Like obviously we've talked about headbutt in the bag and stuff, but let's kind of,
well, that's why Luke's ahead of me.
Discount
that's the only reason,
because he went to Farnborough.
Yeah, that's literally the only
that's
reason.
The only
it's
reason
not a skill thing or anything like
nothing
that.
To do with Not an age thing. Nothing to hard work, dedication,
being
younger, yeah. Smarter.
Whoa.
more athletic.
Huh? More athletic?
Yeah, prettier. I'll give you, no, yeah, prettier.
Prettier? Yeah.
Bigger dick.
Look, we both look like we've walked out of Mordor. He's got the ears, I've got the face of an orc. But no, yeah, when I first started, or when I was getting started, we went, like that gym we were talking about, we were both there, and I don't know if I mentioned this in the last one, we went up to Colson's, when it was in Camberley, we did a session in, and he said to me, I'm coming here now, and in the area in Reading, there was literally nothing, and part of the reason why I didn't go with him is because I didn't want to have a 40-minute trip to Camberley.
Yeah.
Every time I was going.
Three times a week, yeah. Or four times a week.
I know you'd give it all back to do that 40-minute notice. You know how good jiu-jitsu is.
Not at all. I wouldn't change not being here.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying just to have the level. Like
when Matt's did open in Whitley, it was the first spot in the area, wasn't it? And now you can just Google, and I think there's two or three in Reading.
We don't really know how many.
One of them keeps popping up and disappearing. I don't know what's going there. Maybe something else is popping up and disappearing places it shouldn't be. Who knows? But like, so there's that. But then obviously we've got the other ones in the area as well that are like we're talking about Wokingham.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got Wokingham. We got, I think there's Kong in Wokingham. There's Carlson Gracie Bracknell.
There's Shaolin Tigers one as well. It's just open. So yeah, what I'm saying is it's a good time to do jiu-jitsu, isn't it? Like, yeah. Travel around, see different spots.
And for a long time it was just us.
Yeah. And on that tour we Mattox, we had our competition, pro sport grappling.
Yeah, we did.
Reading Comp in the Rivermead.
The inaugural Reading Open.
At
the Rivermead.
You took gold.
I did, yeah. So obviously we had Simon on before, back a few episodes ago. Simon from Showtex is the guy that runs the event, him and his family.
Very good event.
It was a really good event. Like obviously all of us have competed at a few different events and attended a few different events. But like one of the things that, you know, really stood out for me about that compared to, like, you know, I've done a lot of All-Stars events, so I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on them directly, because I have bigged them up before. You know, they are good to do as your first event. You know, I like the way that, you know,
they
offer good value for money, you know, for early registration and stuff. But the thing that really stood out with the pro sports grappling was like how it ran. You know, having that big screen with all the mat times on early in the day is wicked. It means that you don't constantly, when you're in your gi and you're getting warmed up, you don't constantly have to be checking your phone. Mm. And also, like, they do the calls. They do the call for weighing 30 minutes before your match. So, like, you know, the one thing I would say is that I think they had a bit of an issue with the hall was smaller than they expected it to be, or they had to put extra mats on because the weigh-in and the access to the bullpen was actually a bit of a bottleneck. But other than that, like, you know, the fact that they, you know, if your mat was about to go live, they'd call you up to the front of the queue, get you weighed in, get you on. I like the weighing in just before the match. Actually, I'd never done it. All the other tourneys I've done have been
morning weighing.
You get there in the morning. Yeah. And to be honest, when I'm cutting to 76, like lightweight, I actually quite like being able to just have that part of the day over with.
Yeah.
But because this was middleweight and there was no stress about weight, it was quite nice to just, you know, get warmed up, get weighed in.
Do you think you'll cut?
Your mat side.
Do you think you'll cut for your next time?
I don't know. I'll talk about that a bit more when I talk about my matches, like my thoughts about that. I enjoyed being able to go around on the beers up until the week before the tournament, but maybe that's not the logic I should be applying to
Michael's logic.
To my matches. But the other thing I really liked was the No-Gi Absolute. They did a cash one.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. It was televised. And
they put that on that big screen.
They put that on the big screen after everyone had kind of weighed in for their event. So you know, if you couldn't get match side to watch that, you could watch it on the big screen, but you could also stream it at home. And that was, I think, £500 up top. It depends on how many have registered. It's between 200 and a grand, depending on how many regs they get. Mm. And there's a lad from...
Taylor done very well.
Considering the guy that won, it was either a brown or a black belt.
Brown belt. That trains
out of London Grapple. Mm. You know, as I've said in recent episodes, in my opinion, one of the better mats, in like one of the toughest mats in the country. Like for Taylor as a blue belt from Farnborough to get through the first two rounds of that,
his leg lock
big bracket,
amazing.
It was phenomenal to watch. Yeah. So I did want to give that a specific shout out. But Matt House as a whole at the tournament, 47 medals, 17 gold, 14 silver, and 16 bronze. We're sat now next to the best academy trophy, which for me was a highlight of the day. Like,
I don't think any of us even had that on our radar that we might be getting that sort of thing. Even when I told Dom, he was in the middle of trying to coach someone. We were like, they're calling us over there. And he was like, oi, what?
What have we done wrong?
Yeah. which one of you fuckers has done something? Yeah.
He was really happy though. Like, you could see.
Oh yeah, he's proper made up. Yeah.
It's good when you see, like, you know, when you respect your coach, you get
Dom
to see
smiles.
Him. Yeah, it's like that rare opportunity where you get to peep behind the mask.
Yeah. He was proper made up about it. He was very happy. I think we all were.
It's good.
Like, you come in here and you're training all the time and you're coaching and stuff like that, and to see it actually do well against other people and like. I mean, we're still relatively, if you think about it, we've been going, 8-9 years, this sort of thing now. We're still really a new, younger club.
Yeah. I know that obviously Dom's a Roger Black belt and it was an RGA to start with, but obviously he's gone his own route with the Matt House thing.
Yeah, no affiliates or anything.
For an independent club to lock that up, that means a lot, man. I know, and obviously it's on our doorstep, so it's a lot easier for us to all get there. It's not like it was IBJJF Euros or something, but... That being said, I think everyone was stoked with the work they'd done, and
I'm not going to shit on any of the like teammates that we train with, but like from the roles that happened in the gym, they did not go the way they go in comp. Like, comp changed a lot of things that I would have had down.
You think other people would?
I'm not shitting on the lads. Look, the results are there, but like Abdul didn't even think he beat Bobby. Do you know what I mean? And I think that was in his head. And like you were saying, once he did beat Bobby, I think that gave him like massive confidence in his jiu-jitsu.
I mean, if you're going to take that one as an example, I mean, it's playing to your strengths.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh no, it was. Do you know what? Like, I didn't. I haven't rolled with him in a long time now. Like, and I've been injured and not rolling for like 3 or 4 weeks. Like, and I didn't do any of the comp. I've been doing mornings. Since I've been unemployed, like, so about 7 weeks, like, so I haven't seen him in about 8 weeks, like, and the comp prep was what, 7. He looks so good out there, man.
He was good because he did what he's good at. Like, he got to positions on Bobby. He wasn't particularly hunting for submissions or rushing. We were, I think, me and Shaz were coaching him on that side, and Christian was coaching Bobby on the other side because obviously it's two Matt House people going. Yeah. And we were just telling Abdul, like, when you get into a good position, hold, get your points, sit there, like, hold him down. He's strong as shit. So.
The best thing about it was when he won his first match, and for people that don't know and just listen, Abdul's just like massive. He's
what,
like
no gi one.
No, he done it in the gi. He, like, if he won the first match, he like, do you know what, he'd be hot. He just ripped off his gi and he was sitting beside your man that was like on the table doing the matches. And I think your man like told him put your gi back on. Well, I think your man was really just feeling like
he tried to go into his no gi final like ADCC style, and they were like, his opponent was like, I'm not grappling with this man.
I was sat next to him, and one of the guys who was running it, he come up, you know, the bigger guy. He goes, look, nobody wants to see me without a top on, so let's put your top on, eh? And he's like, okay.
Yeah, because he's quite humble, Abdul, like, even though like he looks like intimidating, huge bastard. Like.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you spoke about coaching a little bit there. How did you find, like, have you done, I know you've helped, like, being Matt's side. I remember at Fleet for Harvey's first matches, you were like, you know, but... It's the first time I've seen you in the coach's pass actually acting as a somewhat official coach. How did you find it? How was the experience?
I've done it a few times over the years. I've done it with like Aiden's one when we went up to that.
That was my first comp as well. That cage, that one at Fight City.
Yeah. It's coaching's all right, but I mean, like with Matt House especially, there's a lot of people. So, I mean, there's a lot of people and there's a fair few coaches of us here now. So you don't know everybody's game as much. Like, I know, for instance, you like your arm bars and stuff. I've watched you enough, I've rolled with you enough that I know that that's where you like to go. So if I can see that while we're rolling, I'd be able to tell you if you don't do it, like, maybe that's there or what you're working on. Same with you with, like, guillotines or breaking yourself. I can tell you how to do that, but a lot of the times, for instance, I coach Jalal. You know, Jalal is just
yeah.
to at the comp, I don't know anything that he's doing, so I'm just sort of there trying to help, like trying to say, like, if he's in a bad situation, like, move, get up, posture, just do things like that. It's a long day though.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that just before you said it, because when you did the post on Instagram, it's like, but it was a long day, and it was like, everything was fantastic, you said, and then you go, but it was a long
day. It was a long day for me competing,
yeah,
so I can only imagine, and I, well, obviously you were there, I went to the boozer halfway through to decompress slightly after my matches. So like, firstly, you have your, you know, the first half of the day, you're looking forward to your matches, or like, nervous about your matches, however you're feeling, and then, you know, the second half of the day, you can just unwind. But like, as a coach, where you've got to keep that level of focus consistent for a day that long, I was like I say, when we were waiting around for the team photo at the end, I was fucked.
I was nearly asleep.
I think just kept coming up to me every like 15 minutes like, I think I have to leave.
I wanted to go real bad.
It is a long old day though.
Yeah, I was just waiting for that picture at the end. But I mean, I didn't even see how we were, like, fair play to Shaz, Connor and Dom, especially Connor and Dom, but we were like, and Christian, I guess, we were like running around as much as possible. Like, I didn't even, we were literally, wouldn't even see people in the bullpen. We're just looking at the mats. Oh, somebody's about to go on. Who's going? Quick, go, run.
Like, I remember seeing the videos after watching back my fights. It's like, as soon as my match was over, like before I'd even had my hand raised, Dom had like moved over to the mat.
We were constantly going all over the place.
Yeah, so like, but no, it was fucking great having you guys there. I'm not going to lie, like, I've never had nerves like that for a competition. Not since like when I boxed when I was younger, and like my mates had come and watched me there. I think it being in Reading, knowing that, like, having your coach there is actually adds some pressure rather than take, you know, it's nice being coached and having someone that can watch from the outside, but having
you don't want to end up being a meme.
Yeah, you don't want to be like
sitting there shaking his head after you do something and going,
just like stops giving advice halfway through the match because you're clearly not listening, and then looks across it.
Well, that's what I would say. I think when you've got somebody like Dom there coaching, like, and he is at your corner and you are competing, do listen to him. I know there was a couple of times, and I don't know exactly who it was, but he would be shouting things out to people, and they're just, whether it's their first time and it's the nerves or whatever, they weren't listening to him at all. And it's, we're giving up our day, do you know what I mean, to come help you guys. I know it means a lot to all of you guys, so, and it means a lot to us as well, because we want to see you do well. But if we're there and we're telling you to do stuff, especially if Dom's telling you, listen.
Try and do it, yeah.
Try and do it. Like, he's not going to be sitting there going like, pull mount. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to tell you stupid shit.
Yeah, I remember when I did my All-Stars one, and like, he was giving me the instructions to pass, like, where to put my knee, where to put my hand. Like, you know, move to that side, you know, like simple stuff. Yeah. Like, a lot of coaches kind of go, no, put your hand there. Dom doesn't. Dom gives you precise, like, fucking.
Dom, like, and I think there's two, there's definitely, I think I've talked about this maybe on the podcast before. If not, I've talked about it offline. I think that, when, especially with something like jiu-jitsu, there are two types of people. Some people like will want to be told, right, with your left hand, get a grip on the inside lapel, and then, you know, put your knee in front of the hip. And then some people would be just want to be told, like, right, you need to get past the leg, or, you know, you need to clear the knee. And it's like, they'll find a way to do that. And at comp, I think the second type of instruction is better. Because as soon as you slow down to think about, like, if someone's giving you step-by-step techniques, you're not going to be able to follow those. You're probably going to hear one in three words over the noise of the crowd and everything. So, like that, I really appreciated to, like, you know, being in a position that when I was, like, you know, three quarters on the back and, you know, was looking for a choke, and he was, like, just shouting hooks before, like, and it's like, oh, yeah, I need to get my points first. Because it is different rolling on points than it is to rolling in the gym.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's
something for the coaches as well to look at. Like, try to not make it too complicated.
And you said that sometimes, like, you'd be coaching, because there were so many people on so many mats, like, sometimes you'd be coaching and you'd realise, like, oh, Shaz is coaching the same guy
on
the opposite side of the bench. So it's like, there's no point us both shouting.
You've got, like, you get it a lot, like, when I go to do the cage fighting shows and that, you'll have three people in the corner and every single one of them shouting something.
So, yeah, it's just noise coming out of there.
Well, you've got different, you might have a striking coach, a jiu-jitsu coach, and like just a cut man just sitting there shouting. And it's the same like if
grab your stick and twist
it. Yeah. This is the thing. Plus you've got everybody else, the noise of everybody else sort of thing. So I think, it should be one coach, not a lot of coaches shouting at the same time. And if you could have a coach that sort of knows your game even slightly, or what, it was difficult to do at the last conference because it was so busy, but a lot of the time when I've got somebody who's going out, like me, myself, I'll be like, right, what's the plan? What are you looking to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So then I can help with that.
To get to the positions that they want. Yeah. If you have an idea of their game plan, you can guide them towards like whether they want to get to mount or if they want to get side control and work for something off there or take the back or whatever.
Yeah, it's difficult to just go out there and go, okay, like, because my jiu-jitsu is different to your jiu-jitsu. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's much,
mine is shit
better.
And yours is good.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same as when we've talked about to new starters, like when they'll ask a question after class and or after rolling and they'll be like,
any tips?
What can I do to get better? And it's like, just keep turning up, mate. But it's like when you can ask better questions, so it's like, okay, when I was trying that guard pass, but you shut it down by doing this, what could have I done as a reaction? It's like, you know, the same as going into a comp. If you want to be coached, you've got to, A, be coachable and listen, like we were saying, but B, like, you know, you and your coach should have some semblance of a game plan. Like, mine isn't like specific stuff, but it's major positions, right? It's like, right, I'm going to pull, and then I'm going to look for this sweep, and if they come to their knees, then I'm going to look for this sweep. Like, and it's like, it's the broad strokes, and then the finer details will be filled in, hopefully, on the mat.
It's even things like, if you do pass, like, don't pass and then go straight into something. Let's get that point first. Do you know what I mean? Pass.
That was another thing, because I'm so used to passing to straight to knee on belly, but Dom was like chest to chest, and then was like now onto your knee, and it was like getting that two sets of points rather than
it's very different from
Blue Eyes has been like from Windsor, like he usually does submission only kind
of. I didn't realise he was your what, shout out Ben, because like it's the second or third time I've seen him at a comp, and I know that he listens regularly and he's a sound geezer, like you know, he was proper frustrated, I think. We exchanged some messages on Instagram afterwards, because, like, I think he, you know, he normally does sub-only stuff, and that was a points thing, and, you know, I think the only points he conceded was because he went for a sub and the guy came on top and scored the two for the sweep, and then he had, like, three armbar attempts that he couldn't quite finish, and I think he, like,
He was winning the match, but he just couldn't finish
because,
the submission.
Because he'd gone for that sub and conceded the points, he lost on points.
Yeah. And he just said, fuck this, I'm doing it again. But
he's only doing sub onlys again. But
I think it makes your jiu-jitsu a bit better doing the points.
The points mean something, bro. Like, you know where they came from originally, right? Like, it was meant to be the more advantageous position. If strikes were included, where would you be more advantageous from? So, like, obviously, sweeping someone, you've reversed from them standing to you standing.
Yeah.
Getting past the guard, you're now you're past the legs, you're in a dominant position. Knee on belly is a good striking position. Mount and back, like, in a combat sport environment, those are all, you're being scored on how dominant your position is, effectively. Mm. So, like,
so I wouldn't write it off yet, Ben, you know what I mean?
The thing is,
he talked himself round in my DMs. Yeah. So he was like, I'm only fucking kidding.
If you don't give away points, you're winning. This is the thing.
For sure, even Abdul and Bobby's match was two advantages. That's what he won on, wasn't it?
No. He passed on him, didn't he?
Or did he pass again?
I think he passed.
Yeah, he passed. Yeah. So that's what I mean. But you would think in the gym, like Bobby Yanikov, he's very, very good.
Yeah, he smokes a lot of people. Like.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you add the pressure of a comp day. You know,
he's cutting a lot of weight as well.
That's what I was going to say. The uncertainties, you know, the nerves might hit you differently on that day compared to other days. You know, I found it difficult having mate a lot. I've never had mate, other than the guys I train with, I've never had friends outside of jiu-jitsu turn up to watch me do a competition. I had that on Sunday because it was in Reading. So people were like, actually, yeah, I'll pop up the road and watch you. That adds another dynamic to it. You know, the fact that, like, you've got everyone from Matt House there, not just two or three people, adds a pressure to it. The fact you're going against someone from your gym that you know you probably are a little bit, have an edge on in the gym roles. Mm. I'm not going to say either of them are better because I haven't rolled with enough of them, either of them enough recently. And obviously,
I've only tapped Bobby like five times. He's tapped me like 437.
I'm glad you're keeping calm. styles make matches as well, you know, and it could just be the Abdul style.
It could just be from the pull from the takedown. Yeah. Like he ended up on the bottom, and Abdul did a very, very good job of keeping him there. That's it. If it had just gone the other way.
There's so much on the day where, like, you know.
Some of the lads under first comps as well, and they've done really well. Like, I was very impressed, like, with a lot of the lads.
You sent me a note on this. We've got to mention that. I already had it in my notes, and you've just brought it up. Like, yeah.
I don't like to say anything, but I really do.
I know he listens as well, so I did want to give a little acknowledgement to how well he did in his first match. He got bronze and then fourth in the Nogi. Bronze in the Gi and then fourth in the Nogi. He got a sub in. And didn't get subbed at all. Like, so, you know, for your first comp, like, to
unbelievable. But he looked really good as well.
He did look good, yeah.
And he looked technically good. Yeah. Like, obviously, he was showing up to some of the conditioning. Not all the conditioning. He got Dan syndrome halfway through the process. So,
Dan syndrome.
Yeah, it's a syndrome unique to Dan.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with any other types of syndrome. But
that I might have. Autism.
But, he did fantastically. It was really good to see. And he's just, yeah. I think, like, that was nice. It was nice to see Paddy back in the Matt House silks as well.
Was it? That was. I gave him some stick.
Well, look, but to be fair, when we actually, the final count went in, we were about 40 points up. But when they decided mathematically that we couldn't be beaten and decided to announce the trophy, we were only 10 points ahead of Farnborough.
Paddy still didn't matter because we would have been 3 points and would have looked even cooler.
But like,
fuck you, Paddy.
It was me that kind of asked him to do that, and Dom was like, "No, we'll just give him abuse." But
I did, and I still will. I'll continue to. But I love Paddy.
I quite enjoyed it.
We had a good few pints afterwards.
It was his birthday on a Monday as well, so it was like a birthday competition celebration. And obviously, actually, one other thing I wanted to mention before I talk about myself for a little bit is Ryan, judo, purple belt. I was in the pub next door debriefing with you, Mike, after my matches. So like, I missed his matches, and he got a throw to Kezakatami and did the kind of Bazrut and Keza crunch. But every single person that's seen it has said that it was like one of the best judo throws they've ever seen on the mats in a jiu-jitsu match. Unfortunately, no fucker was filming. So Ryan, bless him, has even gone to Reddit and been like, as anyone at the Reading Open on the weekend got footage of this. So
would he not, the best thing to do would be find your opponent on Instagram.
I don't know if he has Instagram. So what I was going to
say... I'd do it for him.
Yeah, what I was going to say was like, if you...
His opponent would have put that up on his.
That's no, but he'd still have it.
But he might have it saved. To be honest, if it was me, I'd have deleted it. There's no evidence that this ever happened.
That dude flew. Did you not see it?
He properly caught air. No, we were next door, sadly. I was either showering or getting a pint.
No, I was like, let's go for a pint.
It was a long day. It was a long day for him as well, and he weren't coaching. So he had to break up with a couple of beers. But yeah, I just, like, if anyone happened to catch it in the background of filming one of your matches, one of the listeners, or like, if someone who listens knows someone that was in that match, like, if we can get that video to me or Mike or Ryan directly, we'll give you something. We'll give you a shout out, and Mike might have a rash guard with a typo on it for you. So,
yeah, if you're like really smart.
Yeah, so ideally be small and have a video of Ryan doing the throw, and you can win a rash guard.
I like a tenner off the price of one of the normal.
So. And you know that we're always good at honouring our free
still
giveaways.
Still sell it. I'll knock a tenner on.
£50, man.
But yeah, was there any other stand-ups? Obviously, I want to talk about my matches a little bit, but...
I just enjoyed the whole thing, really, and I was like, Matt House, I think, shout out to everyone that did come along as well. Yeah, it wasn't competing. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, Dan turned up, Dean turned up, Tom Lucas was there as well. Do you know, a lot of lads.
I didn't see Tom.
No, I didn't see Tom either.
That's where he was. I spoke to him, like, briefly. I could be misremembering that, but I think that's where he was there.
No, I think everyone did very, very well, especially the people that did their first tournaments. It's a big... big thing to do, like getting out of your comfort zone and going and fighting people.
Do you have any regrets now not competing in it, even though, like, because remember you had registered for it? Like.
You didn't have the option, did you?
I didn't have the option, yeah.
Oh, so nobody actually...
It was very slim at the top. There was only a few purple matches, and I think one brown, and then the rest were all registered for that absolute.
Yeah, I think the only brown belt matches were under 82.
You're not making that anytime soon.
Ever. Unless you get, like, unless you get cancer or something.
Cancer, Jesus.
I was thinking AIDS.
Well, that's more likely.
Yeah. We'll do a past time.
What?
Are you glad you came on now? Are you glad?
I'm always glad I come here.
I'll just say a shout out to Duncan as well from to Camberley.
Is he from Camberley or Farnborough?
I think it's Camberley. Is he? I think it was Camberley.
Farnborough.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was like, he messaged me and he said, "Oh, you boys going to the comp?" And it was like, I was like, yeah, and he said, "Oh, it'd be cool to meet you and say hi," like, and he just listens to podcasts like we'd never met. So it was just like, smile. This is like the most minute, incremental piece of fame we've ever had.
Hey, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, no, like, yeah.
I will fucking take it. To be fair, there were a few other people from Matt House I wanted to mention, like standout performances, but like I haven't written everyone down. So like I just echo what you said, Squish. Like especially people doing their first comp. I know some people golded and stuff in their first comp. A lot of the girls did really well as well. The girls had a bit of a shit draw, like the brackets weren't mixed in with the men's. It was like right at the end of the day, so you know the girls' no-gi bracket was literally the last thing. And I don't know Hannah that well. I know she's moved here from the place that kept opening and closing up the road. Like she obviously sensed that we were all somewhat eager to go home, waiting for her last match, and just threw on a guillotine you'd have been proud of, Mike, in like, with about a minute into the fight. And she looked great in the matches I saw. And like I say, I know that some of the girls competing got medals for the first time as well. So that was nice to see. So you've got to give them a fair shout out. Wouldn't want them to think that this is not an all equal inclusive sport for everyone.
I tell you, a funny thing, looking at the podcast statistics, like we used to only have like 3% or something like that of like female listeners. It's gone up to 15.
Since you started talking about your feet, son.
Dirty definitely feet. Can't be that, right?
Before we break down into all of that, I did want to talk about myself for a little couple of minutes. Obviously, it was nice to get back to competing after my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot, like I've already said, about the nerves. I think, you know, being post-injury did play into that. But
you looked really well, to be fair.
I felt good. Yeah, it was good to not cut weight as well. You know, we had four guys. We had like Paddy, Dimitri, James Cartwright and Danny in lightweight. So I was like, you know what? There's no one from Matt House at middle. I like a beer, probably going to do middleweight, save cutting
sometimes
out the beers for 6 weeks.
Sometimes that's the best way to do it.
And honestly, I think like not feeling depleted in the build-up was nice, not feeling like, you know, feeling like I was able to recover properly. The matches went well. First one I won by sub, second was points.
That second one, how that second armbar?
Yeah, that's it. In the second match, I pulled guard. He nearly hit me with a foot sweep quite quickly. So I was like, right, let's cut this standing nonsense out. Let's get it to the ground. He was like passing low down. Like the foot, like normally, you know, like if I pull, I'm going for a tripod sweep if I stay standing or some sort of like hook sweep. But he came straight down to his knees and was like looking to pass. So played butterfly for a bit. I went for an armbar from guard to start with, but it was a little, you know, when you're on it and it's, you know, it's a little shallow.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was really happy with is previously in competitions where I've gone for something like that, I've kind of got tunnel passed. Vision and then just let, they've had, when the armbar hasn't worked, I've been passed, but I had the kind of presence to be like, okay, this armbar isn't going to, I'm not going to get the finish here. Make sure that I get back to an actual guard before letting him pass.
That speaks to like to everyone that's just competed, that by doing competitions, it does get easier. You do start seeing things, you do start changing and coming up.
And then, I managed to sweep from butterfly, get on top. So got the sweep in the pass was what I scored. And then got knee on belly and went for that armbar as he rolled away, which I've caught some pretty decent people with in training.
That was tight.
Honestly, I unfortunately, the video I've got cuts just at the entry and then restarts as he's already started to roll through and escape. So I want to know what was missing on the break there, because I felt like that couldn't have been more on. He said afterwards, like, he felt like I could have put my hips through it more. So maybe I hesitated. But after he spun out of that, it was really just guard, and I finished 7-0 up. And the first match, was I was really, really happy with how that went, because pretty much the entire sequence I worked on from training and comp classes, it was hit. So like pull, tripod sweep, knee cut, knee on belly.
Well, it's funny
mount,
actually now, because
take
now
the back.
I remember now is that just before you went on, me and you were having a chat actually. Yeah. I remember, and you were going, oh, I don't know, he looks a bit long. Like, I don't know. Like, you were actually well nervous, which I wasn't expecting you to be. But yeah, you just went out there and smashed him basically.
So yeah, it was nice. Nice to not drop a point the whole tournament as well. Which
I did like, as I was saying earlier, when we were on the mats, like when you were putting the knee that to pass to his left, and then like, or sorry, to your left. And then, like, you just switched it over and went to the right. It was money, like. Mm. It looked really good, like. Because it looked like you were going to go, and then you just went across and passed. And it was just, and that was in second
match. People are always, like, people have told me that I generally step in with my left foot and then look to knee cut towards my right. Mm. And most people, I think it's from boxing, I was so used to stepping in with my left foot forwards. So many other people, like if you look at anyone that wrestles, they always lead with their right foot.
I lead with my right
and cut and cut to the other way, because it's so. I think
I cut right. Yeah, I step in my right and cut left.
Cut to the, I think that's part of it. It's like I'm cutting towards people, the side people are worse defending on. Mm. So that gives me a.
Sometimes I switch it, but it really made me think about my passing style, because I've done that a couple of times, but not enough to be actually actively thinking of just putting it over to the other side, and then you can throw your leg around and do that. One that you do, isn't it, where you bury the head and jump out the side.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good. It was a good day. I'm really happy with how it went. Like I say, it's kind of settled a few things in my mind after the injury. It reminded me I can still get out there and do it.
Yeah. But like anything, though, that's the first one. On to the next one.
That's it.
So I really want to get something under my belt now. I was fair sickened, like, that I wasn't competing, but like I'm not healthy.
I'd love to do the British Open 18th, 19th of May, because it's like you can carry on, you know, just carry on with the same energy that we left after this, you know, doing the comp classes, doing the sprints and stuff. But unfortunately, I'm away for that, because that would have been a nice one to roll it into. One other thing before we wrap, you know, we're almost on an hour now, and I don't know, we've all got places to be, but meeting Simon and his missus was lovely. He's from Showtech, the guy that runs it. Obviously, go back, listen to his podcast. He was a sound geezer, and they're coming back to Reading on the 10th. They announced it yesterday. It's not the 17th, it's the 10th of November.
Okay.
So they'll be back for the tournament then. And anyone that didn't sign up to this one that's from Reading and listening, get involved. It was a really well-run event. And to be honest, I think it's the perfect first tournament.
I think I'll go to their next one if it's not. I don't think the Somerset one, because it's just too close, but I'll...
Well, like Northampton, there's a Northampton one. And
yeah, I think I'll do one of their events this year.
They did one last year. They did a Southern one that Barnsley and Paddy went to that was in Brighton. Mm. Like not from, because BJJ 247 always do two or three a year in Brighton, but it was, they did it like a separate one. So if they did another one down in Brighton, I'd go to that as well, because that's you know, it's an easy drive and it's nice to stay out on the beers for a bit.
At that Reading one, they need to sort out the spectator thing. I would say that was the only issue in the whole.
Do you know what I think that was? I think it's the hall and not the thing. Yeah. If there was bleachers in that gym, it would have been a fucking savage event.
So one thing he said was, like, you know, they planned on running six mats, but because of how busy it was, they had to run eight. So that cut out some of the way they were going to do the rails running. But also, I do think it's set up very much as a comp for the competitors. Mm. And I think, that means that sometimes the spectators will...
Big mats matter.
Yeah, will, like, you know, but... It is what it is.
You actually said that as well about the mats, didn't you? That you would have went out of bounds on another competition. But
good shout. Like one of the things I remember specifically from my recent All Stars matches is like how many times I'm being reset. You know, I'm not even a wrestler, right? Like, God, puller and proud. Like, I'm
God, so, puller and proud.
Gay. Yeah.
Everyone, it's like masturbation. Everyone does it. But
there's only two. There's only two types of people in this world: wankers and liars. You're either one or the other.
But yeah, if you're proud about it, that's a little bit weird.
I'm so good at finishing myself.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
I knew this was going to descend into nonsense. But sorry, Simon, we were trying to big up your organisation, but now Mike's talking about
his favourite subject.
Yeah. So yeah, like one of the things I remember is constantly, like even as a guard puller, like someone who's not standing up wrestling, so they're not covering as much space, getting reset again and again and again. Like if you try a rolling back take, you're almost straight away out of bounds and stuff like that.
When you did reset that one time as well, he was very good. He made you both stay and he pulled your man along.
Yeah,
he made sure
it was a proper neutral position where we were just like, I was stood up in his guard and had two grips, and he had two grips on me, and he was like, keep those grips, and then
he just pulled your
dragged us across, perfect.
Because you often reset, and I find like you often, like that little bit of tightness that you would have had or that extra bit that you had, you lose, and nearly always when you get reset, you lose the position you had.
Well, that comes from doing a lot of comps as well, because you need to be able to speak up to the ref or speak up to the other guy, because people will.
Speaking of that, did anyone see Mitch's match? Where they they rolled out of bounds in mount, and then they went to reset, and Mitch like from Matt House was on top in mount, and when they reset, they put Mitch on bottom.
There you go.
And like because it was his first comp, he didn't he was just like looking confused, and I think it was Connor or someone, thankfully, or Shaz that was like, "What the fuck are you doing? Switch them round." And like they were wearing like blue and black gi as well, so it was like I say,
it's a long day.
Fantastic competition, but it seems like it's a long day for everyone, including the referees. Yeah. So that was good. Do you want any comments on the aftermath, Michael? It was a rare day, guys. If Mike wants to add any colour to this, he can. But what I would say is, it was a rare day. Like having the first jiu-jitsu competition ever in Reading, getting a gold myself, seeing so many of my teammates compete, do well, get medals, seeing the academy get the first ever trophy, and then to go out to drinks afterwards to celebrate, you'd expect a somewhat normal Sunday evening, but we ended up
normal for Michael.
We ended up in the Irish pub in town with Michael singing us the sweet melodies of his people. It was absolutely fantastic.
I think they'd take offence to you calling me their people. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants me. My own people don't want me.
No?
We'll leave it at that?
I don't know. Fucking if
want to hear a song.
Do you know what? No, Jesus. To be fair, what happened was there was this guy came around and he was singing, and the boys that were there, he was singing with them, and then he came down and he just randomly came over, sat down beside us and started singing at us, which was fantastic. But he was actually very good and he knew a few songs. So then I went up and I started singing with him.
Know all the songs?
I know a lot of Irish.
I knew some of them as well, yeah.
I teach them in Ireland, don't I?
It was, it's your traditional music.
Like. Yeah, and you grow up going to pubs and there'll be
live music
all the time, and they'll be singing
It's not just all dark, dingy fucking pubs with a fire and the whole place covered in soot and we're fucking getting smoke inhalation.
We've got that too. We've got that too, but there's live music, right?
Every now and then someone just starts singing.
It makes
some fella with a bird with one eye sitting on his fucking knee, you know what I mean? And he's like, that's Jack. Yeah. You don't like him, fuck out of the boat. Sorry, that's just complete nonsense I'm talking. I think this podcast has been as long as that competition was. But good day. But if you want to be involved in the shenanigans, you just have to come out. I mean, it was in this group for everyone to come if they wanted to. Zeb came.
Yeah, Zeb and his boys
came at a time where he didn't see me get to the level of drunk I was. He just came into the pub and I was flaming. Yeah, I was Mike, up there singing.
Mike was talking like the Canadians in South Park, where the top half of the head separate from the bottom half. It was fantastic. But yeah, on that note, before we incriminate ourselves any further.
Of a drug.
Use code DGEN10 at xmarshall.com, DGENPOD at flowstate.com, Assault DGEN for 10% off at Salt and Storm. Register for the pro grappling events, pro sports grappling events. They've got them up and down the country. One coming to a town near you soon. Anything you want to end on, Squish?
No.
Thank you for joining us, mate.
It's been a pleasure. It's nice to do it in Matt House.
Yeah.
Nice and echoey.
Yeah, hopefully the audio isn't too
unbearable. Definitely drop us a comment to complain about the sound. Drop us, share it with your mates so they can listen to how bad the sound is. Just share it with everyone there. We've got a last minute.
I mean, would it be a podcast of mine and yours?
I couldn't have fucking timed it better. On that note, play it to your nan.